Well, this morning, the bit I want to talk about, I have to be honest with you. How many of you watched the wedding yesterday? Yes. Well, how many heard Bishop's sermon? Yes. Well, he stole mine. That's what I was going to preach today. So I've got to pull out sermon number two. So if you have not heard that sermon, you need to go back and listen to it on YouTube or on recording. And that's what I was going to preach today. And boy, it was awesome. What a powerful message. And I encourage you to go back and listen to that. Today's lesson, I want to talk about rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. You know, rejoice is one of my favorite words as a Christian. Doesn't mean my circumstances and my situations are always great and everything is fine and everything is hunky-dory. If I may choose to use that word, being a Florida cracker or someone from South. But I love that. I love coming in here and saying, this is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's the way we are supposed to be. We may not feel that way on the outside all the time or on the inside, but we can do it on the outside. The circumstances may not be great, but we can do that. Paul challenges us in his love letter. Philippians is the theme is joy. Rejoice. Paul talks about that all through the book of Philippians. And the church in Philippi was important to John, or important to Paul. He started this church over 12 years ago from after the letter he's written. It was important to him. He loved the people in Philippi. So I thought it was appropriate for our graduates, because we've seen you grow up in this church, a majority of you, from baby on up. So what words that Paul has given to this church, we give these words to you. Do not lose your joy. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. In the first part of the chapter, the verse, he talks about praying for the church. And he gives thanks every time he remembers them. And then he goes and talks about the joy that can be robbed. Not only can it be not robbed by circumstances, but sometimes it can be robbed by other people. And sometimes it can be robbed by ourselves. We let flesh take away that joy. And here he's beginning in chapter 4 to talk about anxiety, stress, worry. Now, if I asked how many in here have stress and have anxiety and worry, probably this whole, everybody would raise their hands. And that can rob us of our joy. But I want to tell you something. When Paul writes these words, rejoice, he is in prison. His circumstance, his situation stinks. He is locked up. Yet he says this, as you heard earlier Lucy read, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. And let your gentleness be evident to everyone. The other day I went into McDonald's for lunch. I love McDonald's. Nothing like a sausage biscuit. Nothing like a Big Mac. And their fries are out of this world. I love McDonald's. As you can see, and I was trying to tell the others in the earlier service, I was in sports. My two favorite sports that I participated in high school was cross country and track. Can you believe that? Not as quick as you, Robert. Congratulations to Robert. I can congratulate every one of these. We congratulate him. Robert's first in state in the mile and the 2 mile. So, I know that embarrasses him, might embarrass his parents, but hey, if anybody wants to race him afterwards, they can. And we are definitely proud of Robert and Kent that will be serving our country in the military. What a wonderful honor and a great honor. We got great. Church, you did a great job. We've got young people that are going in, further their education, that have been very active in this church, that are strong in their faith. Praise the Lord. Rejoice. Be grateful. Be thankful. What a great, outstanding bunch. They were leaders throughout this church. They taught basketball. They taught Wednesday night Bible studies. So proud of them. But getting back to McDonald's, I went in there the other day and I saw a little girl. And she got so excited over the fact that she was going to get a Happy Meal. You know the Happy Meals. They have the toys inside of them. She walks in there and there's a display sitting at her eye level. They're smart. Great marketing. They put it at eye level. Instead of putting it at the parents where the parents can see it, move the kids away. The kids see it. It's at eye level. And this little girl comes in there and she sees it. And boy, she gets so excited. And she's cheering and she's giggling and she's pointing at them and saying, I want this one. I want this one. No, this one, that one. And I tell you that story because before that little girl came in there, the environment was so much different. The mood was so much different. Well, you see that day, and it's not always in McDonald's. The service was slow. They were messing up our orders. People were in line waiting for everything seemed to be in process and not ready to be come out when you see that big screen up there. And people were complaining. And they were being grumpy. I was one of them. And the most irritable people are the ones that are grumpy and don't keep it to themselves. And they say it under the breath, but they're really not saying it under the breath. They're saying it so the person across from the counter can hear it. That was happening. That was the environment before the young girl came in, the little girl came in. But I tell you, when she came in, she changed the whole environment of the restaurant. They saw her excitement. They saw her pulling on her mother and saying, I want this one. Oh, I'm excited to be here getting a half. And everybody started giggling and laughing from adults on up. The whole mood changed. The whole attitude changed. And I believe that's what God calls us to do, to rejoice, even in the midst of our circumstances and situations, when they're bad, when they're terrible, when they don't work out the way we want. We're responsible for keeping it up. Think about that in all the things you've been involved in with your sports, your activities. Maybe it's your job. You've got to keep it up. Keep the motivation up. And God calls us to do that in our life, in our walk. It's tough, but Paul accomplished this. And we don't do it on our own strength. We do it on the strength of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gives us that. It comes in that relationship with Jesus Christ that we're able to do that. That's why Paul was able to do that. He said, in Christ, I rejoice. In the Lord, I rejoice. That's where you gain that strength to rejoice through those circumstances that stink, through those situations, through those people that have bad moods. You're able to rejoice. And look beyond that. Attitude plays a big part in your life. I read the story the other day about a man named Jerry. He was the kind of guy you either most people liked or most people didn't like. He was always in a good mood and always had something positive to say. When someone asked him how he was doing, he would reply, if I were even any better, I'd be twins. He was a unique manager because he had several waiters who had followed him around from restaurant to restaurant when he changed jobs. And the reason was that these waiters followed Jerry was because of his attitude. He was a natural motivator. If any employee was having a bad day, Jerry was there telling that employee how to look at the positive side of life and the situation. A friend, seeing this in Jerry, asked him, I don't get it, Jerry. How can you be such a positive person all the time? How do you do it? Jerry replied, each morning I wake up and I say to myself, you have two choices. You can choose to be in a good mood or you can choose to be in a bad mood. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim or I can choose to learn from it. I choose to learn from it. Every time someone comes to me complaining, I can choose to accept the complaining or I can point out the positive side of life. I choose the positive side. We learned that a lot when we were in Haiti on a mission trip, our young people. You know, we forget about how blessed we are. You got in a car to get here today. You got a home to go back to that's got an air conditioner running. Praise the Lord, I do now. At one point I didn't, but I'm thankful. It made me appreciate air conditioning. You've got a family that loves you and cares about you and that supports you, graduates. Folks, you have a church that loves you and supports you. Look around you. We've got a beautiful choir. Of course, they all exited out. I guess because they've already heard my first sermon. That leads us in worship. We have many blessings in our lives to be thankful for, to be grateful for. Paul was grateful for the church that supported him and loved him. And that's why he could rejoice in those times. Several years later, Jerry Friend came to him and said, you know, that he had found out that Jerry, this is the story that I've just talked about earlier, in the restaurant business, had did the no-no. He left the back door unlocked. And in doing so, armed robbers came into the restaurant. So while Jerry was trying to open the safe as he was at gunpoint, he got nervous and his hand slipped on the combination. And the robbers panicked and they shot him. Jerry was found, he was alive when they found him. And they rushed him to the trauma center. After 18 hours of surgery and weeks of intensive care, Jerry was released from the hospital with fragments of the bullet still inside. His conversation with his friend 6 months later asked him, said, Jerry, how are you doing? Were you scared? When Jerry was asked that, he said, I couldn't be better, any better, if I was twins. Kept that same positive attitude. The friend says, how did you manage to handle that? He said, I chose to live and not to die. When the doctors operated on me and they were getting ready to, one of the nurses, as they were dragging me in, asked me if I was allergic to anything. I replied, because I saw the fear in the doctor's eyes and got a little worried, I said, bullets. Kind of limited. But our attitude makes a big difference in our lives. If you know anything about Charles Swindoll, he's a Christian author who has written over 50 books. And I want to read to you what he says about attitude. He says, the longer we live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, the education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than success, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than the appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have the choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in certain ways. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we all have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react to it. We are in charge of our attitude. My encouragement to you, graduate, is to remember that as you journey through life. It's all about our attitudes. And then Paul finally states, as you looked and dealing with anxiety, he talks about prayer, the importance of the prayer. And he talks about prayer being a part of our life. And it was said earlier in the earlier service that Paul talks about praying without ceasing. Prayer needs to be a part of our life on a daily basis. And it's not just us speaking, but it's us listening to God. God's got a special purpose and plan for your life. And part of that purpose and plan for your life is to bring honor and glory to Him. For you know the greatest verse of Scripture is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I know I've kind of went bouncy on that. But that's the first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God. That relationship is the most important relationship you'll have in your lifetime. The person sitting to your left, the person sitting to your right, and some of you are on the end of the pews, I know. Maybe the last time you see them. Sad thought, but it may be a true thought. It changes. And parents, your kids grow up, they move away. Some say goodbye, some stay. You know, I've got one that I would like to get out, but oh gosh, he's going to see this. It's a live stream. But things change. Things change. But the only constant is your relationship with Jesus Christ and your relationship with God. And He loves you more than anybody could ever love you. He loves you more than His church could ever love you. He loves you more than your parents could ever love you. And He'll stand by you because He made you. You were made in His image. Never forget that. And don't worry so much. We want you to succeed in life. Success is important, but it's not the most important. The most important is being significant. You want to be significant. That's what changes lives. That changes your life, and it changes lives around you. So strive to be significant. Remember to love others with the same type of love that God has loved you with. And I promise you, you will be able to say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Pray with me if you would. Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day, for this day of celebration. Father, we recognize that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift of life. There's so much out there that tries to buy for our time. A lot of times, Lord, we try to take our schedule and put you in that schedule. Help us to take you, Lord, you, God, and put our schedule in you. Father, we know that these young people have accomplished so much, and we're proud of them. We've watched them grow in their faith. We watched them grow as leaders. We watched them achieve certain education ability, and we're grateful. Father, may they stand fast in you. May they remember that you love them with all of your being. You sent your Son to die on the cross for them. No greater love is this than what your Son has done for us. We thank you, Father, for that. Now may we be reflectors of that light and that love wherever we go now at this time. And we'll give you all praise, honor, and glory for that. Father, if there's anyone here today that needs to make that decision to follow you, may they do so in boldness and strength. Father, if there's any decision that needs to be made of rededication, may they make that decision here today, whether it be in their heart or they make it public. And Father, all we thank you so much for this church that continues to love and seek to do your will, not only here in Roswell, but throughout the country, throughout the world. Thank you for these families. For we ask this in your Son's name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.